Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Chav Zayin. Perhaps let's go back to the bottom of Chavav Amud Beis. It'll be three lines from the bottom. Right at the end of the Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah, have Shaitan v'nituchan she'elu ve'elu shavin. The Mishnah concludes that regardless of whether it's a carbon yachad or carbon tzibur, when it comes to the hefshet, the flaying removal of the skin, and nituach, dissecting the carbon, elub elu shavin, both will have the same halacha. Now, what does that mean? Continues the Gemara, tanim lo tanim b'raisa, have shaitan v'nituch and shavin bizar. We mean to say that a carbon yachad or carbon tzibur have this thing in common. They are shava to the extent that when it comes to hefshet v'netuach, you don't need a kohen. Even a zar can do these things. How do we know this? Why should this be different than other carbon-related activities? We're dealing with the carbon itself, the actual guf ha-carbon. You're removing the skin, you're cutting it up and preparing it for hakrava. Why would you allow a zar to do that? Amar chizkia menayin lehefshet v'netuach sheshava bezar. How do we know this? Shenemar. The pasuk says, "V'nosnu b'nei aron hakoyin eish al mizbeach." The kohanim must light the fire on the mizbeach. We learn from here, "Nisinas eish boyikuhuna." Yes, indeed, lighting the fire that you need a kohen for. Hefshet v'nituach loy boyikuhuna, but not hefshet v'nituach. Says the Morham, "Yiboy le gufei." What do you find a mute? It's this and not that. The Torah is simply telling you the kohanim have to light the mizbeach. What does that have to do with hefshet v'netuach? What do you see? We're trying to exclude hefshet v'netuach from the kohen requirements. Amar of Simi bar Ashi. Listen to the following story. Ashkachte l'abayi. I encountered Abayi. I observed Abayi d'av mazbele l'brei. He was teaching his son, explaining to him this very halacha of Chizkiah, that hefshet v'netuach don't need a kohen because of the pasuk discussing Bnei Aaron placing the Eish in the Mizbech. And he began with a Braisa. He proceeded with a Braisa from Teres Kehanim, as Rashi explains, which begins like this. V'shachat, the Pasuk says, V'shachat es b'na bokar afnei Hashem, v'yikribu Bnei Aaron ha-Kehanim sadom, v'zorka sadom al Mizbech saviv. That's the Pasuk. We learn from here, says the Braisa in Teres Kehanim, V'shachat, shchita v'zork sheiro, even a non-Kohen could do shchita, whether it's a carbon yachad, even a carbon tzibur, and a carbon tamid. The shechita can be done through a zar. V'chimei ayin basa, continues the braisa. Where are you coming from? Why would you think otherwise? You need a pasuk to allow a zar. Why would you think that a zar should be pasul? We don't find the Torah speaking about shechita being done exclusively by kayin. The answer is mechlal shenemar, because we have this general pasuk. V'ato b'necha itcha. The pasuk concludes, if you don't safeguard the avodah, you don't prevent a zor from getting involved, v'azor hakarav yumos. That's the pasuk. We learned this earlier. A zor may not engage in avodah. Shemei ani, I can perhaps conclude from this, afilu shechita. A zor may not even do shechita, tamad loymar v'shachat es b'na bokar v'na Hashem, v'yikrivu b'nei aron hakehanim sadam. The pasuk here clearly separates shechita from other parts of the avodah. First, v'shachat es b'na bokar v'nei Hashem. He does shechita. Who's he? We don't know. Perhaps a zar. Perhaps the same fellow that did the smich on the carbon, the owner. And then the same pasuk continues, v'yikrivu, to make it into a carbon, that's b'nei aron. V'yikrivu b'nei aron hakehanim sadam. And we learn from here, the kehanim only have to be involved from this point onward, mekabbalah ve'elach, mitzvahs kuhuna. From kabbalah sadam onward, that's a kohen territory. But anything before that, v'samach yaday, v'shachat, that doesn't need a kohen. Limeid al hashchita shekshera bezar, smicha and shchita can be done through a zar. Actually, it's interesting, the Ramban, in Chumash, he interprets this, the pasuk of v'yikrivu b'nei aron hakehanim es adam, which the Gemara says is referring to Kabbalah. Where do we see Kabbalah in the word v'yikrivu? Says Ramban, listen to this, the pasuk is telling you, la'asos min hadam korban, V'hikrivu, turn it into a carbon, which up until now, it wasn't considered. It wasn't considered a carbon. It was a potential carbon. True reference of carbon only refers to something which is on its way to the mizbeach. After the shechita, you makabel the dam in a kli, which enables it for the mizbeach. That's called v'hikrivu. You turned it into a carbon. You know, we learn elsewhere in the Gemara that, according to some shita, Rabbi Shimon, kala oimid lezorek kizorek domo, when something is already in a kli and available for zrika, to a certain extent, regarding certain halachas, it is already regarded as though it was already nizrak on the mizbeach, because it's phase one of the zrika. V'hikrivu. We learn from here, from that point onward, from Kabbalah onward, the kohen has to do it, and not a zor, as opposed to things that happened before that. Shechita, smicha, even a zor can do. So this is the braisa, end quote. This is the braisa on Teres Koinem, the source to be matir shechita through a zor. Now, Abaye proceeded to explain to his son as follows. Michti, let's analyze this braisa. We just learned, mekabbalah ve'eloch mitzvahs kuhuna. From Kabbalah onward, that's Kohen territory. So why does the Pasuk have to say that the Kehanim have to place the Eish in the Mizbeach? V'nosnu b'nei Aron, ha-Kohen Eish, lamali. What's the point of mentioning Aron ha-Kohen? Isn't it Pasha that this is the Pasuk after Kabbalah? In the sequence of the Pesukim, it's mentioned after the Kabbalah. Kabbalah Saddam. Of course a Kohen is needed. Why does the Pasuk have to mention Kohen? Oh, apparently it's coming to be Memayit something. This needs a Kohen. Nisinas Eish al Mizbeach has to be done through a Kohen. Lemute Hefshet V'Nituach. As opposed to Hefshet V'Nituach, which don't need a Kohen. So that's the Pshat in Chizkia. Abaye was simply explaining Chizkia. How do we know Hefshet V'Nituach don't require a Kohen? Because we have a Pasuk, V'Nosnu B'nei Aron HaKohen Eish al Mizbeach. The Kasha was, perhaps, Pasuk is not coming to me, might have Shet V'Nituach, just coming to tell you that Nesinas Eish Adam Mizbeach needs a Kohen. The answer is, we already know that. We already know anything past Kabbalah requires a Kohen. So why does the Pasuk have to speak about a Kohen doing this? It's an extra reference to Kohen to tell you, this needs a Kohen, but not have Shet V'Nituach. Says the Gemara, V'akati Yitzchak, but still in all, you can't say it's an extra pasuk for the sake of a mit. It is needed for its own sake to tell you that the eish has to be placed on the mizbeach through kohen sal gadai tachamina. Perhaps I would say, given the lava voided the ma'akva kapari, since lighting the fire on the mizbeach is not an avoided which generates kapara, as Rashi says, famous words, de'ein kapara el v'dam. Kapara is generated through the dam, through the zrika, not through the fire on the mizbeach, although it's very important. It's needed in order to be makrav the evorim and the chalavim. But remember, akrovas evorim v'chalavim are not me'akiv. The only thing that's me'akiv, the carbon, is the dam. So since this activity is not something which is vital to the hatzlocha of the carbon, lo me'akva kapari, lo tibay kuhuna, perhaps the kohen is not needed. Kamash malan, yeah, the bay kuhuna, the pasuk is telling you need a kohen for this. This is not an extra pasuk. There's an inherent chiddush here. So once again, how do you know to be mamait? Hefshet v'nituach from kahuna. Says the Gemara, Ela mehoch. Let's move away from that pasuk. We have another source. V'orchu b'nei aron ha-kehanim es ha-nesachim es ha-roish es ha-padar. We have another pasuk which refers to kehanim. The kehanim should set up the parts of the carbon, the roish and the padar on the mizbeach. Why does the pasuk have to mention kehanim again? Isn't it obvious that a Kohen has to do this? Michti, let's take a look. Mikabbalah ve'elach. Mitzvah skuna. We just concluded that from Kabbalah Saddam onward is Kohen territory. V'aruch ulamali. Why then does the Pasuk have to say that the Kohen have to place the Evarim on the Mizbeach? That's certainly happening after the Kabbalah Saddam. L'mu'utev sh'tvinituach. Apparently it's coming to be m'mayit something. This needs kuhuna, but not something else. What's that something else? Hef sh'tvinituach. So that's the Mahani, you know, it's Hefshet V'Nituach that's going to be Mismayit. Perhaps we have another candidate for Miut. We know that the Mizbeach had to receive another dose of firewood, after you arrange the firewood, the maracha, you added shnei gzira etzim, two blocks of wood. And maybe that's what will come to be memayit. The arrangement of those two blocks of wood don't require kohen. But perhaps hefshet v'netuach do need kohen. Says the Gemara, you know, the pasuk here of Va'orchu is discussing what? Va'orchu b'nei arna kohanim sanu socham. It's a roish, it's a padr. We're speaking about the actual goof of the carbon. Apparently, it's mistaver that when we're trying to be memayit, this needs kohen, but not something else. It's within the same realm, within the same category and context. We're discussing things which directly relate to the guf HaKorban. Mistavra divcha, divcha is the lashon of zevach, divcha de kavasei memayit. Memayit is something which relates to the actual korban. De kavasei, just as this is discussing a korban activity, the meat should apply to something similar. Divcha de kavasei memayit, which leaves us with hefshet v'netuach as prime candidates for meat. And they don't require a coin, as opposed to sidur shnei gezira etzim, which aren't the actual carbon. It's wood. It's an external element. So it's mistaver that the miut in this pasuk is referring to something similar, something which relates to the gufa carbon hefshet v'netuach, which doesn't need kuhuna. The rabbi says more just the opposite. The pasuk here is speaking about arranging the evarim on the mizbeach. This needs a coin, as opposed to another arrangement. Sidur the kavaseimamite, something similar, an arrangement which is similar to this arrangement, is included in this miut, which would refer to perhaps shnei gzira etzim, being masader, those two blocks of wood. That wouldn't need a kohen, but hefshet v'netuach, that would need a kohen. Leis al kadaitach, says the more, you can't say that. Why? We know that shnei gzira etzim need a kohen, d'omar mar, v'hikrav ha-kohen es ha-kohen mezbecha. Again, we have a reference to Kohen. The Kohen will be makriv everything to the Mizbeach. What's it referring to? Zuhoi lachas evarim lekevish. Transporting the evari ha-korban to the kevish. And we make a diuk. Hoi lachas evarim lekevish. Hudu ba yikuhuna. That requires a Kohen. Hoi lachas eitzim. Loi ba yikuhuna. Only the evarim, which is the guf ha-korban, when you're transporting them, you have to find a Kohen to do so. But halachas etzim, which aren't really the guf hakarban, you don't need a kain. And let's go further with this diuk. The halacha of etzim don't need a kain, because you're merely transporting them to the mizbeach, but setting them up, that requires a kain. Ha sidur shnei gzir etzim b'yikuhuna. Arranging the shnei gzir etzim needs a kain. That's all included in this limud, as Tosis explains. He asks Akasha, how do you know? Maybe the same pasuk, which is going to be memayit, the halacha of the etzim to the mizbeach, they don't need a kain. Likewise, the arrangement of those very same pieces of wood don't need a kain. The Yishlemer says, Tosfos, the very fact that you have to be memayit, halacha's etzim from kuhuna, indicates pretty clearly that the sidur, the arrangement of those pieces of wood need a kain, because otherwise, meaning if you don't have to arrange it with a kain, of course you don't have to bring it with a kain. It's a kavah chomer. If the arrangement on the mizbeach doesn't need a kohen, then certainly the halacha of those pieces of wood doesn't need a kohen. Now, the fact that the pasuk has to come and tell you that halachas etzim doesn't need a kohen indicates to you pretty clearly that the sidur shnei gzira etzim, which is on the mizbeach, require a kohen. So it's pretty clear that you cannot be mamayit sidur shnei gzira etzim from kohuna. So get back to that pasuk of Va'orchu b'nei Aaron ha-kehanim es ha-nesochim, where we have another reference to kahuna. What's it coming to be might? Arranging the Evarim need kahuna, but something else, question mark, something else does not need. What is that? Va'orchu lamali lem'utei hefshet v'netuach. Apparently, that's going to provide the miut for hefshet v'netuach. They don't need a kohen. So we had two steps in the Gemara so far. We had Chizkia, who sourced it in the pasuk of the Eish. V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-kohen Eish l'mizbeach. Only Nesinas Eish requires kuhuna, but not hefshet v'netuach. The Gemara negated that source because it's coming to tell you that placing fire on the mizbeach, even though it's not a ma'akiv kapar, that needs kuhuna. So there's no room for miut here. It's not an actual pasuk. Ella, the Gemara proceeded to another pasuk, Va'orcha b'nei Aaron. They place the parts of the carbon on the mizbeach. And why is the pasuk referring to Bnei Aaron again? We already know anything past Kabbalah Saddam needs Kohen. It's a mit. This needs Kuhuna, but Hefshet and Netuach don't. Says the Gemara further, and the Hagoyis Agrua takes out the next four words. And begins from Ella Behikter. Says the Gemara, Behikter is a Kohen. Behikter a Kohen is a Kohen Lamayos. So we begin from Behikter. Behikter a Kohen is a Kohen Lamayos. We have another pasuk. Another pasuk which refers to Kohen. Seemingly, unnecessarily. Another superfluous mention of Kohen. Behikter a Kohen is a Kohen. Why is a Kohen mentioned again? Isn't it Pashut? What is the Torah referring to? Be makter things after. There's Rika. The Ivarim, the etc. Past Kabbalah, it's Kohen territory. Why mention Kohen again? Lamayos. So the Vilna Gaon inserts another two words here. Ella v'hikter. It must say like this. This is going to be the third phase in the Gemara. Ella v'hikter. That pasuk v'hikter. Hakoyin es hakoyl is coming l'mu'utay hefshet v'netuach. This is going to be the pasuk where we learn hefshet v'netuach doesn't need a coin. V'yikter hakoyin es hakoyl. Only this needs a coin. But hefshet v'netuach, that's nismayit. That's excluded from the coin requirement. Now the Gemara is going to go back to the other psukim. We had four psukim in total which made reference to coin. So we just clarified the word kohen in this pasuk. Victor kohen sakol. That's going to be the miyat v'hashad v'netuach. Continues the Gemara. What about the pasuk v'hikir v'kohen es hakol mizbecha? That's the pasuk we mentioned earlier. That is speaking about the halacha sevar zuy halacha sevar mekevesh. And we learn from there halacha sevar mekevesh with the bayi kuhuna. That is a kohen. But halacha eitzim loy bayi kuhuna. And we learn further. Yeah, the halacha eitzim doesn't need a kohen. Ha sidur. Shnegzir Eitzim, arranging those two blocks of wood on the Mizbech by Kuhuna needs a Kohen. So that's the point of that pasuk, why it refers to Kuhuna, to teach us that Sidur Shnegzir Eitzim need a Kohen. Next pasuk, which refers to Kohen, is Venosno, that's the pasuk which we began today's daf with. Venosno Menei Aaron HaKohen Eshlam Mizbeach. Why mention Kohen there? Venosno Lugufei, for its own sake. And the Chiddush was, although it's not something which is ma'akev kapara, you still need a kohen. And finally, the pasuk of va'archu, which was that pasuk va'archu b'nei aron ha'kohanim sa'nasachem sa'rishim sa'padar. Why do you need to specify kohen? Says the Gemara. Actually, we have another chiddush learned from that pasuk, like this: va'archu loshin rabim shnayim two kohanim. The pasuk continues b'nei aron once again to loshin rabim shnayim two more kohanim. Then we have the word ha'kohanim. Once again, it's a double lashon, shnayim. We learn from this, two, two, and two. Lamadnu, letzle, the lamb, the carbon tamid, shaton, shisha. We have to have six kohanim transporting the evarim to the kevesh, as we learned yesterday, that the actual guf ha-carbon needed six kohanim, although we spoke about nine, but nine included the nesachim, the chavitin. The actual evarim of the carbon needed six kohanim. Five for the Evarim and one more for the inner is the Kravayim. So it's not just a matter of practicality. We have a source from a pasuk that six Kohanim are needed to transport the Tleh, the Korban Tamid, to the Mizbeach. Amar Rav Amnuna, Kashi Leila Rav Lezer. Rav Lezer had a Kasha with this Limud. He learned from this pasuk of Arhu B'nei Aaron Akam that six Kohanim are needed to transport the Tamid, the Tleh, the Lamb. But this pasuk, if you look in the Chumash, is speaking about a ben abakar, a large livestock, an ox, a cow. Haibi ben abakar ksiv. U ben abakar, es rababoy. We learned yesterday that to transport the bakar, you need 24 kohanim. So of course 24 is a number which includes the nesachim and everything else. So the actual carbon itself needed somewhere like 9, 10, way more than 6. V'nichalei, and he came back and responded. He answered his own kasha. This was Rabbi Lezer, because this pasuk we just mentioned, Va'archu b'nei aron ha'kohanim, concludes with the words as follows: Ala etzim, so they transport the varim, they put it onto the mizbeach al eitzim on the firewood asher leish asher mizbeach. Now, why does the pasuk have to make another mention of eitzim when eish mizbeach? We know, already know, that the carbon goes onto the eish, onto the eitzim and the mizbeach, as we learned in the earlier pesukim. Why make that reference all over again? You put the Yevarim, ah, la'etzim, ah, shalom la'esh, ah, shalom mizbech. Apparently, the pasuk is trying to emphasize something, make reference to a carbon which needs new eitzim and new eish, new on the mizbech, and the new mizbech. That's the carbon tablet. Every morning they would rearrange the mizbech. New fire, everything was refreshed and renewed. Ezeu dover, which is the thing, which carbon needs shenema, which thing has a reference to it? On which thing do we describe, do we say, Shenemar by Eitzim Eishim Mizbeach? Havayim Zitla? It's referring to the Tamid Shel Shachar. Let's take a look at Rashi on top. Havayim Zitla? Tamid Shel Shachar. His Kekacha Kosuv, Lamarachas Eitzim Chadosh, Bechal Boiker. You have to have a new arrangement every morning. Veishal Mizbeach, took it by. Vach Moikdo Sido Marachi. Come on, Parent. Gimel Gemara later on, we'll go into this. Ubir Alea Koin Eitzim Babaiker. Boiker Vach Alea Oilo, Vamar Oilo is Rishoina. So the pasuk is speaking about arranging new wood for the ha'oila, the known oila. What is that? The oila rishayna, the first oila of the morning. That's the carbon tamid. You have to rearrange the mizbeach, the carbon oila, the carbon tamid. Avol shar karbonos lehuskiku, the chidish marocha. That wasn't needed for other karbonos. So the kasha was, well, this pasuk, which enumerated six kohanim, which we figured was speaking about the carbon tamid, but really was speaking about a ben abaka, which needs more. How does that work? The answer was because the ending of the pasuk is clearly alluding to the carbon tamid shel shachar. Alo eitzim asher la'esh asher mizbeach. That's the carbon tamid shel shachar, which needs a new eish, a new eitzim, and the six kohanim refer to the carbon tamid shel shachar. So conclusion. We had a chiddush that hefshet v'netuach can be done through a zar. How do we get to that conclusion? So actually we have a list of five psukim which make reference to kohanim to bnei Aaron. And the Gemara says, we interpret and apply the psukim as follows. When the pasuk says that the shechita will be done and then v'yikrivu bnei Aaron ha'kohanim as adam, what is that teaching us? From the point of v'yikrivu, as Rabban explain to us, v'kriva means turning the dam into a carbon, which is from the point of Kabbalah Saddam ve'elach, mitzvah as kahuna. The pasuk said, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha'koyin eish l'mizbeach. What's the point of mentioning a koyin there? The chiddush is, even though it's not ma'akev kapara, a koyin is needed. The pasuk says, v'hikriva koyin es ha'koy l'mizbeach. Why mention a koyin? What's the chiddush here? Ha'iloch is a varim to the mizbeach need a koyin, but not ha'iloch as eitzim. But yes, Sidur Shnei Gzir Eitzim on the Mizbeach. V'hiktir HaKoynes HaKoyl, we learn from here, L'mayit Hefshet V'nituach. And then finally, V'orchu V'nei Aaron HaKehanim, three L'shoynes of Lashon Rabbim teach us two Kehanim are needed to transport the Tzla, the carbon tamid, to the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, Omer of Asim Rabbi Yechanan, begin a new sugya. Zor shesider samarocha chayv. Should a zor go ahead and arrange the firewood on the mizbeach, he is chayv misa. Not only is it possible, but he's chayv misa. It's such a chashiv avoida, which results in misa. Ketzad u'oisa, what should he do to remedy what he did wrong? Perka, he dismantles the arrangement. V'chayzev esaydra, rearranges it anew. Maya hanile, what good did he do? The zor himself rearranged it. Then we're back to square one. Ella parka zar. Rather, the chiddush is that even a zar can take it apart. But of course, v'soidra koyin, a koyin has to go ahead and rearrange it. Maskev l'rab zera. V'chiyesh l'cha avoida, shekshera balayla upsula bazar. How can Rabbi Yechanan tell us that being masada de ma'arucha, which is something that takes place well the night, towards morning, but it's still night, how can you say that that type of avoida, which is kosher at night, it's a nighttime avoida? It's a secondary avoida. It doesn't have the same significance as a daytime avoida. The main avoidas were done by day. A nighttime avoida will be possible, bizarre. Where would you get that from? That was his kash. Says the Gemara in response, where are you coming from? Veloy? Is that not so? You're tying together Zar with Yaim? What about being makriv the Ivarim and the fats of the carbon, which happens throughout the night? And we learned very clearly back on Chavdal Ramad Aleph that Akhtara, which Rashi interpreted as meaning Ivarim and Pedarim, should a Zar do that? That's another way that's Laila. Saif Ivoida the Mummy. That's not a standalone avoid. It's a conclusion of the day's work. Because remember, the carbon was actually brought by day. You can't bring in the carbon at night. You can't do a shechita and drink at night. So it was done by day. Now it's a conclusion. It's a gemar of that avoid. And therefore, it's considered. We relate to it as avoid asyoim. Therefore, zor is possible and there's a chiv misa. As opposed to sidur amarach, which is an independent activity taking place at night. Mecha teisa. Why would you think a zor would get misa? Vare Tumas HaDeshen. What about Tumas HaDeshen? That's certainly an avoidas laila. And there's a chiv misa. Zar does it. Of course, we had a machloikis back in the Chav Dalet between Rav and Levi. It was only Levi who maintained that there's a chiv misa for Tumas HaDeshen. He had a chiddush that even though it's an avoidas siluk, you're removing something, but if it's outside the Kodesh HaKadosh B'Nechel, we learn from a pasuk. The Chol Dvar Mizbeach, there's a Chiv Misa. And Rav disagreed. Rav said, no, a Tumas HaDeshen does not result in Misa for a Zor. So the first one pointed this out. And the answer that Rav is only disagreeing on account of the fact that it's not an Avoidas Matana. It's missing that element of providing, of contributing, of offering, of removing something. But if not for that factor, if it would conform to all conditions, all requirements, it would be an Avoidas Matana, say. Would be Chayv Misa. So the discussion isn't whether or not an Avodah Slayla is Chayv Misa. The question is whether an Avodah Siluk, the fact that you're cleaning and removing, is that enough to give the Zor Misa? But suppose that factor would not interfere. Suppose it would be a proper Avodah Matan, it would be Chayv Misa according to all Shittas. That's the Gemara's question. It's Avodah Slayla is Chayv Misa. Chidas Avodah the Mummy. That's the initiation of day's work in the Beis Hamikdash. Although it's taking place when it's still dark, but it's the tchila of the avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore it relates to the next day's avoda. It's not called avoda slayla. In fact, we have a halacha as a result of this understanding. Domer v'asim Rabbi Yechon, kiddush yod of Tumas HaDeshen. The kohen washes hands and feet in preparation for Tumas HaDeshen. Although it's still nighttime, lemachar. He doesn't need to rewash his hands tomorrow. Why? Because he already washed his hands at the initiation of the Avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. Apparently, Trumas HaDeshen is considered the initiation, the Aschola of the Avoda of the Avoda Sahayim, although Trumas HaDeshen is technically still during the night. But it relates to the next day's Avoda. And that sets it apart from Sidur HaMaracha. Sidur HaMaracha is an Avodas Laila, and there shouldn't be any Chiv Misa for a Zor doing that. Tumas HaDeshen is different, because it's the first Avoda of the next day's work in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Rashash points out that really Sidur HaMaracha takes place after Tumas HaDeshen. So Tumas HaDeshen is followed by Sidur HaMaracha, which leads you into the next day's Avoda. So why is the Gemara calling Tumas HaDeshen Tchilas Avoda? If anything, it's further removed from the following day's Avoda than Sidur HaMaracha, which is really closer to the next day's work. Says Rashash, the Gemara doesn't mean it's closer or further. Tumas HaDeshen kicks off the next day's Avoda. It's the initiation. It's the Tchila, it's the Roish, it's the Rishon. That gives a chashivas. It relates to the entire next day's avoda, because it's the first, it's the truma, the Trumas HaDeshen. So therefore, we regard it somewhat as avoda siyam, because it's connected to the next day. But Sidur HaMaracha is a standalone activity. It's not tchila of the next day's work. So it's just an independent avoda. And since it takes place at night, it's avoda slayla. Velakashi says, okay, so we have a kasha Rabbi Yechna. This is Rabbi Zera's kasha. How could Rabbi Yechna maintain that if a Zor was Masad and Maracha gets Misa, it's a Chiv, it's an Avodas Laila. Where do we find that an Avodas Laila generates Misa? Says, well, you're right. Eloki itmar hachi itmar. Apparently, when Rabbi Yochanan's halacha was related in the Beis Medrash, it was related as follows. He wasn't referring to Siddur HaMaracha, rather, Omar Asi, Omar Yochanan, Zor, Shesidur, Shnei Gzira Eitzim, Chayiv. If a Zor was Masadr, the two blocks of wood on the Maracha is Chayiv. Hoy lev avodas yomi. Certainly this is an avodas yomi. The Pasuk says that he's supposed to do it Bira Lea Koin Eitzim Vabaker Vabaker. And for Zor to do that, he's Chayiv Misa. It's a Choshava avoda, it's avodas yomi. Now you may remember that there was actually a machloikus back in Chavdal Dam Beis. Tuna Biyechnun maintains that a Zor is chayv upon being Masadr the Shnei Zira Eitzim because he considered an avoidas, avoidatama. We had a drasha, vavadtem, avoidatama. It has to be a final avoida, a concluding avoida. Reichen maintained, Shnei Zira Eitzim, that's the final stage, the final phase of delivering wood to the Mizbeach. It's an avoida tama. That's why there is misa for a zor. Whereas Rav disagreed. You may remember, Rav said no. There's no chiyuv misa for a zor. And the Gemara explained because he held it wasn't avoida tama. Why? Why isn't it considered a final and concluding avoida? Because there are still other things to be brought on the mizbeach. You're going to be misadu the yivarim of the carbon tama. So as far as arrangements, you haven't really finished the process. Rechna says, forget arrangements. Wood is done. So it's called avoida tama. Rav maintains, we look at cedar arrangements. You haven't finished arranging things. After the wood, you have to bring the Ivarim. So, two ways to look at it. We look at the actual item that we're dealing with, the wood. Wood is over. It's avodat tam. If it is misa, according to Rabbi Yochanan, as Rav says, we look at the makom. We're trying to arrange things on this area, on the mizbeach. After wood comes the Ivarim. And therefore, the Shnei Gzira Eitzim are not considered avodat tam, a concluding phase of the avodah. And again, here we're focusing on Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that Shidush Nigzir Eitzim is Chayev by Azor, it's an Avodas Yoim, and therefore has Chashivus. Hoyel Avodas Yoimi. Maskev Le Rav. If that's the case, that it's so Chashiv, it has such, so much significance because it's an Avodas Yoim, and therefore Azor is Chayev on it, you're giving it that level of Chashivus, just placing Shnei Gzir Eitzim on the Mizbeach has chashivas enough to result in Misa by Azor, Elame'ata to buy pais. That's the case. Then we should have to conduct a pais, a lottery to allot the schus of doing the Shnei Gzir Eitzim to the proper kain. Otherwise, it's going to be machlaikis. It's avoid the chashuva. Why don't we find that there was a pais for this avoid? Ishtamitze, Yad Tanya. Rava simply forgot the braisa, which we learned back on Afchav Beis, that there was a pais to decide who's going to bring the Gzira Eitzim on the Mizbeach. Misha Zacha B'Turmas Hadeshen. It wasn't an independent pious, but was included as a bundle in the Turmas Hadeshen. Misha Zacha B'Turmas Hadeshen. The Kohen was Zoicha through the pious to do Turmas Hadeshen. Yiske B'Sidim Arocha. He was Zoicha in that, arranging the firewood on the Mizbeach. U'B'Sidim Shnei Gzira Eitzim. And to bring the Shnei Gzira Eitzim onto the Mizbeach. Continues the Gemara. L'meimer. Now, let's analyze Rava's kasha. It would appear from Rava that only an avodas yoim, which has chashivas, has significance, needs pais. It's something that they're going to fight about, generates competition, lots of interest, and that needs a pais. We see that from Rava's wording, the way he presented his kasha. He said, well, if Siddur Shnei Gzira Eitzim is an avodas yoim, and has chashivas, it should need a pais. L'meimra, do you suppose that avoidas yoim by pious? Only a daytime avoida needs a pious. Avoidas laila loy by pious, as opposed to a nighttime avoida does not. That doesn't need a pious. Doesn't. It's not going to generate enough interest and competition and infighting. And you don't need a pious for that. First come, first serve. Is that so? Varevaram p'darim. We need a pious even to decide who's going to be makar varevaram p'darim throughout the night. How do we know this? We had a mishnah yesterday. What was the fourth pious? Ha pious or vi, right? Mi mala ivarim in a kevesh l'mizbeach. Who's going to transport the ivarim from the kevesh to the mizbeach? Now you may remember, Rabbi Yochanan tells us that whoever was zoich in the morning is automatically zoich in the afternoon. You don't need a separate pious. So when it comes to this job of taking the ivarim from the kevesh to the mizbeach, if you did it in the morning, you did it in the afternoon, which means you were there throughout the night to follow through because many times it would stretch into the night. So there was a pious even for a avodas laila. As is the Gemara, seif avodah d'imami. That wasn't considered a avodas laila because it was the tail end of the daytime avodah. And therefore, it granted it chashibus. Vayi tumas hadasha. What about tumas hadasha, which was an avodas laila and certainly had a pious? We began the perek with the pious of tumas hadasha. Chafezim and all. What do you mean? It's avodas laila. Why does it need a pious? Says, well, you're right. It never needed a pious. The pious was only introduced on account of the circumstance because of the story. Bumped him off the kevesh. He killed him. But technically speaking, you don't need a pious for an avodas laila unless it gets so popular that it results in competition in sakon. Says them, okay, lemeimer. So what do you tell me? The avodas yoim, v'shezor chayev aleihem misa b'yom pious, something which is considered an avodas yoim, something which is also chashev enough, an avoda, that a zor gets misa upon doing it. Only that is chashev enough to generate a concern in our mind of competition and fighting, and therefore boya pious. Is that so? Is that the formula you're working with? That's what it sounds like from the Gemara, from Rava's presentation. Elamiyata to boya pious. Only something which is truly chashav with this yoyim and is a chashav avoida that a zor will get misa for it. Only that's considered important enough to require a pious. But ain zor chayav aleihem misa lo boya pious. But otherwise, there's no chiv misa. It's not chashav enough. It doesn't need a pious. Very shechita. Why does shechita need a pious? How do we know it needs a pious? You don't tell enough chavei manal. A pious hasheni mishoyche. If shechita can be done through a zar, there's no chiv misa on zar. So why is that considered a chashav enough avoid to require a pious? Shani shechita tchilas avoidi. That's the beginning. That's the tchila of the avoid of the carbon. It has that added chashivas, and therefore a pious was needed. Omar Mar Zutra, V'itema Rav Ashi. He says like this. We just concluded that Sidur Shnei Gzirin on the Mizbeach, should a Zor do that? His Chayv Misa, and Rabbi Yechon tells us, because it's Avodas Yoyim. Had to be done exclusively by day. V'anan Loitnan Hochi. We seem to have a Mishnah which indicates otherwise. You can do it even at night. This is the Mishnah coming up on the next daf, Bez Hashem. Omar Lema Muna. The Mamuna calls out to the Kehanim, Tzuru, go out and take a look. Go to some lookout area, to some tower where you can see far out, and take a close look at the horizon. Tzuru, if this man of Shechita already arrived, if the Mizrach has already become bright, which indicates time for the Shechita of the Talmud. V'ilu, Zman Shnegzira Eitzim Loiktani. But we don't find that he's overly concerned about determining the exact time which would be appropriate for delivering the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim on the Mizbeach. Apparently you can just do it as soon as you think it's light. You don't have to go confirm it properly by going up onto the tower and looking out. Well, if Shnei Gzirei Eitzim can only be done by day, then why wouldn't they have to check properly? Says the Gemara, the truth is it had to be done by day. But this extra concern, this extra care to go up to a high area, onto the chayim, onto the gag, as Rashi says there, that was specific to the Korban Tamid. Hach de les leta kantak tami. We only discuss something which cannot be remedied once done. Once you sheikh the Tamid, you can't reshecht it. So therefore, they had to make sure 100% time has arrived. Hach de es leta kanta, but something which can be fixed up, such as the Sidur Shnei Gzirei Eitzim, at worst case, if it turns out that it's not yet morning, just take it off, put it back again. Like Tani, there's no need to discuss it and be overly concerned about it. Let's take a look at Rashi, around 15, 16 lines from the bottom of the Amud. V'anan leitznan, she'ei Sidur Shnei Gzirim avodasyon. We seem to learn in the Mishnah that Sidur Shnei Gzirim are not day-related. Mishnah says, the Mamuna calls out, go take a look, im hegiyaz man ha-shchita, im heir ha-mizrach. The eastern part of the horizon has already brightened up and gotten light. Why are we not concerned regarding the Eitzim? They're less like takanta. Tamar is different. There's no takanta to it. Im nishchat balayla, as opposed to the firewood, there's like takanta. Im sudram balayla, a worst case scenario, you did it at night. Perkan mechoyzer mesodjim miyam. Take it apart and redo it. Lekach lo yitrichu lalas legag ulirois. Im egia hazman. So we'd have to burden them to go up to the roof to check and see. Sheoisa atoyach lo yitrichu. The whole point of this Torah to go up to the roof was only because it happened one time, Shapam Achas, Olam Or Alavana, the moonlight showing up the sky, V'dimu She'er Mizrach, they figured it was the sun. V'shachto Satamit. Because the Tanah Perek Gimel, the Gemara later will tell us this, Aval Sidur Gzirim Sidur B'Karka Azor. When it comes to the firewood, we don't have to climb up to the roof, just observe from the ground below, and once you see M'She'er Mizrach, and you see it's getting light, fine, you can assume time has arrived. At worst case, if you got confused with the moonlight, they're not overly concerned, because you can always fix it up, take it apart and redo it. So let's just stop for a moment. We had Rav Asi, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who told us initially, according to the first version, that if a zor arranges the marocha, it's chayiv misa, and the Gemara says, well, how could that be? An Avodas Laila. What do we find? Avodas Laila generates Misa for a Zar. The Gemara reverted to a different version that we're not speaking about Sidur Amaracha, rather Sidur Shnei Gzira Eitzim, which is certainly an Avodas Yoim. And therefore, if a Zar should do that, he's Chayiv Misa. It's an Avodas Matana. You're offering, you're giving. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, who is the Manda Amay here, it's called Avodas Tama because that's the final phase in delivering wood to the Mizbeach. Now, there's an interesting point here. The Gemara leads into a discussion regarding when is a pious required. The Gemara says it has to be avodas yoyim, has to have chashivas, an avoda where a zor would be chayiv misa, then that needs pious. What about shechita? Well, that's tchilas avoda. So we work with certain guidelines, and that determines whether or not a pious will be adopted. Now, the kasha is, you would tend to think of a pious as simply a practical method, a practical formula which was introduced by the Kahana, by the Chachamim, to avert any sort of machlokes and danger. You would tend to think you don't have to follow. It doesn't follow certain very specific guidelines. It's not halachically mandated in this case or that. Whenever you need it, you do it. So the truth is that the concept of pious is based on a pasuk. This is Sifri in Parshas Korach, which says like this. The pasuk tells us v'avadtem, telling the Kahanim, do the Avodah the Beis HaMikdash. Yochal afilu mirvavan. Perhaps they can do the Avodah even in a disorderly fashion. Mixed up, competing, fighting. No. Tamad lo imar. Avodas matona. Eten es kunasch. Says the Sefri. Just as a matona is alidei pais. You give a gift in an organized way, in an orderly way. So alidei pais just means It's organized. It's mesudar. Same thing with avoida. Av avoida al yedei pais. There can't be an irv of mayhem. That doesn't work. The Torah requires things to be done in an organized, orderly, civil manner. So it's a pasuk. Some say it's really not Torah. Some say it's asmachta. In any case, it's sourced in a pasuk in Parshas Korach. So it's not just a practical thing, and therefore. There's certain requirements. Well, the din Torah only applies to certain cases. Well, then, how do you know when to apply it? And you can ask a kasha in the other direction. If it's a pasuk that requires pious for avoidas, then why this avoida, not that? That avoida, not the other one? So the answer is partially because the Torah is not telling you you have to make a pious for every avoida. The Torah is telling you it shouldn't be mu'urvav. Shouldn't have mayhem and disorganization. Now, if an avoda wouldn't generate much interest, such as what the Chacham figured Trumas Hadeshen would do, it wouldn't be too much of an attractive avoda. You wouldn't get up all the night for it, avoda slayla. So they didn't make a pious. There's no concept of irvav. It's not like you need a pious for every avoda. If it can be done in a calm, organized manner without pious, that's fine. Eventually, I saw that it was creating machlokes and sakana. Well, now it goes back into that din. Yochal yu mirvavin. No, you need a pious. So that's Pshat in this whole Gemara here. The Chacham would determine for us which one of the Avodos are considered those which can potentially generate Irvuv, Machlokes, Mayhem, and disorganization. It has to be Avodas Yoyim, Avodah Chashuva, which is something that's attractive and generates interest and creates competition. And that needs a pious. But again, the concept of pious, when needed, is mandated by Torah. So both things are true. It's a halachic requirement, and it has a practical application. Continues more of Ikad Amr. There's another version of the Kasha of Rav Zeir. What was the Kasha of Rav Zeir referring to? Rav Yechanan, the original Rav Yechanan, who tells us that a Zohar was Masada de Maroch, is Chayiv Misa. Ikad Amri Maskla Rav Zeir, on that Rav Zeir is the Kasha. Maskla Rav Zeir, v'chiyesh lecha avoida, sheish achrei avoida psul b'zohar. What do we find? That an avoida which has after it another avoida, such as Sidur Maroch, that's not the final phase. You arrange the firewood, you bring more firewood, and you arrange the Ivarim. So why would a Zohar be Chayiv Misa? That's not avoida Tama. It's not a final, concluding avoida. V'chiyesh lecha avoida. What do we find in avoida? Sheyesh achrei avoida, which is followed by another avoida, Upsul Bazar, on which a Zohar be Chayiv Misa. Rashi uses the words Upsula Bazar Lis Chayiv Misa in the case of Mishnah's Medayik. The main point here is Chayiv Misa. Continues the Gemara, and Rashi actually tells us to skip the first 4.5 lines. So let's begin in the middle of that fifth line. Elo, the word Elo. So the Gemara, based on this kasha, we have to rearrange Rabbi Yechon's halach, just as the Gemara did earlier. Elo ki itmar ki itmar. Rather, we're said as follows. We're not speaking about Sidur Ma'arocha. Amar Baisan Rabbi Yechanan, Zor Shesidar Shnegzira Eitzim Chayev. The Zor should arrange the two blocks of firewood on the Marochis Chayev, because this certainly is an Avodah Tama. Hoyel Avodah Tama is the final phase of wood delivery to the Mizbeach, and therefore he'd be Chayev Mis. Okay, time for a brief Chazor of today's daf. We began with a reference to the last part of the Mishnah, which told us that Hefshet v'netuach can be done through a Zor. The Gemara was looking for the Makar of this halacha. I went through many psukim, actually five in number, where we had a mention of Aron, Koy b'nei Aron, Koyhanim, that are needed for those various activities. And the question is why? Why does the pasuk have to make specific mention to Aron and to Koyhanim throughout all those psukim? And we concluded as follows. The pasuk which says, V'krivu b'nei Aron Koyhanim, as Hadam is coming to teach us, Mikabbalah ve'elach mitzaskun. From Kabbalah onward, that's Kohen territory. V'nostu min arna Kohen eshlam mizbeach. It's telling you, even though it's not Ma'akav Kapara, you need a Kohen. V'yikir ha-Kohen es ha-Kohen mizbeach. It's coming to tell you, halachas Eivarim needs a Kohen. V'nahar itlachas Eitzim. But yes, Sidur Eitzim on the mizbeach. And v'yikir ha-Kohen es ha-Kohel. It's coming to be a Ma'it. Hefshet v'netuach. That doesn't need a Kohen. And we have another pasuk, V'orchu, B'nai Aaron, Ekehanim, Son of Sochem, Esarish, as a Padr. What's the point of mentioning Aaron and Kohen there? To tell you that a Tzle needs six Kohanim. How's that? V'orchu, a two, B'nai Aaron is two, Ekehanim is two. A typical carbon tub needs six Kohanim to transport it to the Mizbech. We began another sugya. Rav Yochan tells us, so Azor, who's Mesada de Maroch on the Mizbech, he is Chayiv. The Gemara had one kasha, then we had another version, another kasha. The first kasha was Avodas Laila. What do we find that a Zohar is Chayiv Misa for Avodas Laila? According to the second version of the Gemara, the kasha was, it's not Avodas Tama, because it's only the first phase, which is followed by the next phase of a Shnei Gzeirah Eitzim. So why would a Zohar be Chayiv Misa? The Gemara concluded, you're right. He didn't say that. All Rabbi Yochanan said was, if a Zohar is Mesader, the Shnei Gzeirah Eitzim, on the Mizbech is Chayiv, because that conforms. A, it's Avodas Yoyim, and B, it's an avoid the tam. Hatzlacha Rav, and all the best to you.